Broadcasting live from the Apple Store in Grand Rapids, it's MyMac.com podcast number 120.
The next generation of radio, it's the MyMac.com podcast.
Well, it's actually 24 hours after we did the podcast at the Apple Store. That was yesterday. And Chad and I realized that we needed to come back and, you know, kind of fill out the show a little bit.
Yeah, we've got some folks to thank for all their hard work and for their donations. And we've got some winners to congratulate who we couldn't get to while we were doing the Apple quiz at the Apple Store.
And Chad's referring to the home contest portion of this contest that... Home portion, kind of, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. For those folks that couldn't make it to Grand Rapids for the Apple quiz.
Right. While we were at the Apple Store, a couple cool surprises. First one was Rick Stringer, longtime listener of the show, came down from the Variant Frequencies podcast. He's from Traverse City. He came down. We did another interview segment with him. I think this probably marks like the 12th time he's actually been on the show. We mention him a lot, and that's because he's got a really cool show, and Rick's a really great guy.
Yep.
And it was amazing the connections Rick had with other famous Mac people, famous Mac web people.
So let's go on to that. What was interesting is that Rick had contacts with Dan Knight from Low End Mac, who also showed up.
And that was kind of funny because I didn't know that that was Dan standing over there the whole time that we were recording, or the whole time that we were doing the Apple quiz. And we started out the show doing the Apple quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this one guy who seemed to know most of the answers, and it turned out to be Dan Knight.
Yep.
So that was great that he swung down and said hi to us. And we're going to play an interview with Dan here in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one was Joel.
Yep, Joel Mueller from MacUpgrade.com.
MacUpdate.com.
Sorry, Joel.
I kept calling him Joe. I don't know why. I'm just, you know, not with
and
it
I
sometimes.
Use the site all the time, and I don't know why I just blew that, because I was thinking low-end Mac upgrades.
Joel actually was... very helpful during the Apple quiz. I mean, he actually asked a question of the audience, and it was a good time. I had a great... We did the interview with Joel as well. So
yeah, and
we'll
it was really
that.
Great to meet Dan and Joel both face-to-face, and for me, Rick Stringer for the first time.
Yeah, it was your first time meeting Rick Stringer.
Yeah.
And after the Apple podcast, we went to see 300 at the IMAX theater, and it was sold out. So,
but fortunately, they had another theater that was... really almost as good as an IMAX.
The sound was just incredible. If we had movie theaters like that here where we live, I would go more often.
Yeah.
So let's play a little bit of the actual Apple quiz that we did at the Apple Store. Obviously, somebody sitting at home listening to this, it's not going to be as exciting to listen to people answering questions. And honestly, the quality of the audio isn't the greatest, because we had one mic, and basically with this one mic, you have to stick it right in your face for it to pick up very well. So we're going to play a little bit here. I'm not even sure, because we're in the process of still editing as we're recording this. But we're going to try to get at least 10 minutes of the actual Apple quiz, and then we'll jump back to Chad, me here in the studio, and we'll tell you guys who won the home version of our contest.
Yep.
And then we'll play the interviews with Joel, Rick, and Dan Knight from Lima.
Cool. We have the newer technology mini stack from Otherworld Computing. This is an external drive for Macs or Windows.
You know what? There's one person that I can't let answer this question. This is going to be Rick Stringer, because the first time we gave a mini stack away, what was it, Rick, 2 years ago? Almost 2 years ago, Rick was the first winner of the mini stack, so... I think this disqualifies him. He can't answer this. So go ahead and click us through, Chad. Oh, we need a bigger battery. What was the first year the iBook was introduced? Does anybody know? Everybody's looking up right now.
2001?
She says 2001. What do you think, Chad?
That's a total guess.
Total guess? Okay. Well, somebody already answered the question, so let's see if she's right.
2001, 1999.
And what's the name of the loser? She doesn't want to give her name. All right, go to the next one. All right. What were the two colors the original... He knows back here. What was the two colors the original iBook came in?
Bondi blue and tangerine.
Bondi blue and tangerine. Survey says... Blueberry and tangerine. So there's the winner of the newer technologies, Mini Stack version 2. It's just that easy. You answer the question right, you get something cool. Except for the guy picking his nose. I'm not giving him anything. I saw him over there.
Just for the uninformed, there actually was somebody over there, Chad, picking his nose.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No. That's,
you know, called him out in public like that?
You know, he's going to go over there and start playing with a mouse on a computer or something, and he's got his finger buried up to his knuckle in his nostril. That's gross.
It's just nose dust.
Dude, do that in your car at a stoplight when you don't really care if anybody notices or not.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, that was gross. So I called him out on it, and he yanked his finger out real quick, and a couple of people saw him, and I know it was mean. I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But, oh well. One of our winners was a guy named Roger from New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was, and we'll play his answer here. The question was, what was the first GUI? Well, I'm sorry. What was the first personal computer to support a GUI, a graphical user interface? And at the event, I didn't even get to read the entire question.
Because he had the answer already.
He had the answer. Yeah. While we were doing this, we had a big 23-inch monitor hooked up to Chad's MacBook. And we had a keynote presentation running with all the questions. So we would literally click the button on the remote, which wasn't working very well.
Well, I had my battery needs to get changed on the remote.
And and so people would see the questions even before we were reading them. And Roger was one of the guys that knew the answer before I even got the question all the way out.
What was the first personal computer that said, somebody wants office?
That's my wife's name, Lisa, actually.
He says it's the Lisa. You got to click it. Is he right? Oh, it's the Apple Lisa. Say, what's your name?
Roger.
Roger, where are you from?
Well, I'm from New Zealand, but I live in Caledonia now.
You came here from New Zealand? I would think it would be the other way around for me. I'd want to get out of here and go to New Zealand. It's so beautiful.
Just go to Los Angeles and fly for about 13 hours and you're there.
Well, congratulations. Hopefully you can use Office for the Macintosh. And, of course, that's from Microsoft, one of our sponsors. All right, Chad, what's the next question? All right, what was the name of the store that was the first to order the Apple computer? I'll give you a hint. They sell adult videos now. Probably doesn't help. No. Somebody over here is nodding. The first store... But you don't want burning. So if I want something else, okay, I'm gonna bump it up. We're gonna give away. Nobody wanted World of Warcraft. Oh, do you think you know? Okay, we're gonna ask this person here.
The Bite Shop.
The Bite Shop. And then the question or the answer is, click the button. The Bite Shop. Do you want Burning Crusades or do you want a? Microsoft, you want this? All right, this is from Microsoft. It's the Microsoft Wireless Desktop for Mac. Comes with a keyboard, and it works with a Windows and a PC. So if you're unfortunate enough to be on a PC, you can use it on that too. All right, what was the name, the computer name, that Apple introduced on April 19th, 1977? What computer? Now, he looks very confident right here. What are we going to... Let's get another big one here. Okay. We're going to give away. And from Otherworld Computing, a Mercury On-The-Go high-speed storage solution. Ooh, you want this, don't you? Yes, he does. So what was the name of the computer?
The 2GS.
Can you just stop at two?
The Apple II.
Okay, let's try the Apple II. The Apple II. All right, what's your name?
John.
John, I take it you're a big Mac user?
Yes.
How long have you been using Macs?
I started with a GS in 87 and with a Mac in 94.
A Mac, so... What computer are you using right now, or do you have multiple Macs or just one?
I have multiple Macs. I have a PowerBook G4 and an iMac desktop.
Is the iMac one of the new Intel Macs or an older one?
No, it's older. It's about 3 years old.
You know, I found a lot of Mac users tend to keep their machines a little bit longer than the average PC user. I mean, a three-year-old Macintosh right now is more than capable of running the latest and greatest Macintosh operating system. Take Vista on a three-year-old PC and see how much fun you have.
No, that if you tried that, it'd be a real nosedive in a hurry.
So do you have any plans to buy a new Mac in the near future? Or
I'm looking forward to my next Mac, yeah, but my PowerBook, I have a really neat picture of my two sons are both in college, and the three of us, I have a picture sitting side by side with each of us with our PowerBooks on our laps, and I send it to my friends all the time.
You know, I had a feeling this was a multi-Mac guy. He looked like a very tech guy. He even has the Blue Thune Borg thing in his ear right now. Anybody that has one of those in an Apple store, he's got to have more than one computer.
Rick Stringer, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Chad?
For those of you who don't know Rick, he's the producer of the Varying Frequencies podcast. You guys started, what, January 2006?
Yep, that's right. January 2006, we just finished our first year.
It's been a pretty banner year for you guys. I mean, you got a prestigious Parsec Award. You're moving over to...
We're moving to Farpoint Media. Yep, that's going to help us expand the audience, make us part of a bigger group. It should be really good. And tonight, we're posting the final episode of the Failed Cities Monologues.
Yeah, and I'm a little sad to hear that. I mean, I was a big, big fan of that. So what do you guys got planned next?
Well, I don't know how much I can tell you. It's kind of a secret. I'd have to kill you. But I have something for you guys.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Well, they're going to be too big, but these are limited editions. We had very few of these made. These are T-shirts for the Failed Cities Monologues for you and Tim.
Excellent, thank you. And they're in fat guy size for me.
Well, they're huge, but like I said, they're limited editions, so when we become famous, you guys will have these collector's items. You can fight over who gets which one.
I heard something was for me, that's all I heard. Some free swag. The last thing we have to give away is the Traffic Jams. It's the white model from Otherworld Computing, newer technology. Allows you to listen to your iPod. Oh, look at her. she's okay. How did the first iPod connect to the Macintosh? You want to say? Okay.
FireWire.
FireWire is correct. That's for you, sweetie. She's probably 2.5. She's 4. You're 4 years old? So, do you know what this is? Do you know what this is? If you say something, your voice will come out right there. Say hi.
Hi.
Did you hear it come out of there? Isn't that pretty cool? Wow.
And that was by far the youngest winner of anything at the Apple Store that day.
Well, any contest we've held so far. So.
3.5-year-old, and she won an FM transmitter from Griffin Technology. So congratulations to her. That was just so cute. I wanted to put it in the podcast.
Yeah.
So we do have our home winners, and that's all we're going to play from the Apple Store. I think that was enough of the actual contest.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have 8 winners of the home edition.
Yep.
Of the Apple quiz. Of course, you didn't have to answer any questions. You just had to send in your name, address, phone number, Social Security records,
yep.
Dental records, everything.
Fingernail clippings.
Yep, we needed that for DNA analysis. And the prize for the first winner was a copy of CNET's Do-It-Yourself Mac Projects from McGraw-Hill Publishing. And Chad, who won that one?
That was won by Janine Behan of Fairpoint, New York.
Congratulations, Janine, and we'll have that shipped out to you ASAP. That's actually going to ship directly from McGraw-Hill Publishing, not from us.
And we have another one coming from McGraw-Hill Publishing. That's Do-It-Yourself iPod Project.
Yep, and that was Jason Waltz, W-A-L-Z, Walls.
Yeah. Or Waltz?
Waltz? I'm not sure.
Well, Jason, you won.
You won. And he's from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Now, the other sponsor for the at-home product was Kavasoft, KAVASOFT.com.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of really cool shareware products, but
right. They're
not cheap shareware products, and they're of high quality. It's really nice stuff. So when I was looking to find something to give away, this is one of the companies that I approached. And they agreed.
Cool.
So we've got two copies of three other programs. The first two copies we're giving away is of Shoebox.
Yep. And our first winner is Paul Spatzik from Anchorage, Alaska.
Congratulations, Paul. And the second winner, Chad?
Chris Jorgensen from Henna, Alberta, Canada.
So congratulations.
Yeah.
The company will actually email you directly. They already know that you won. I told them not to contact anybody until Tuesday because we're going to post this up on Monday. So the first time most of these people are going to hear is not when they get an email from the company.
They'll hear from us.
Yeah. I thought that was fair. We have two copies of iConquer 2.
And also one from Kavasaw.
Yep. And the first one was Antonio Gomez. He's one from us before. He's from Panama.
Yep.
So congratulations, Antonio. I don't remember what he's won in the past.
It's been a while.
It has, but the name is very familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, yeah, I know him. He's won before.
And our second winner?
Go ahead.
Is David Burren from Middle Camberwell, Australia.
Australia, Panama, Canada, Anchorage, Alaska, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It's kind of the whole globe here, isn't it?
Yeah.
The last program was iTunes Catalog 2. This is a program that I actually am looking at buying myself. It's a program that I really want to get.
Mm.
And it's from Kavasoft as well. Speaking of Alaska, Barry Kaplan. We've talked to Barry in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And Barry won a copy of iTunes Catalog 2. So congratulations, Barry. And our last.
Yep. That's Tim Cook from Bethphage, Tennessee.
So congratulations, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
That's our winners. Eight people didn't have to do anything but send an email in, and
very cool.
That's cool. So now
congratulations, guys.
Yeah,
thanks
definitely.
For sending your entries to the home contest,
and hopefully you'll keep listening. So now that you won something for free, you're kind of obligated to continue to listen and spread the word. That's really what we do the contest for. So you go, wow, I won something. And you call every Mac user you know and go, dude, I won something. You have got to listen to the My Mac podcast.
I am indebted to Tim and Chad forever.
I'm thinking about naming my first daughter Tim Chadina.
Or my first son Guy.
So now we're going to jump to the Dan Knight interview and then from Low End Mac. And then we're going to follow that up.
Yep. And then we'll have Joel Mueller from the Mac update.com.
Heard of his account.
And we're here at the Apple Store live, well, as live as we can be in a podcast, with Dan Knight from Low End Mac. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing fine. Had fun with your podcast here.
Well, Dan Knight has been publishing Low End Mac. Originally, it was part of Mac Times, or?
It started out on my own personal web space.
Right.
Then we joined Mac Times in, like, November of 97.
Yep.
We got our own domain a couple years later. We've been online almost 10 years now.
It's
10 years in April.
The resource that you get from Low End Mac, I can't tell you how many times that I go to Low End Mac, I have a question. Okay, when did such and such computer come out? I don't even think anymore. I know go to Low End Mac, all the information is there.
Well, let's not forget service issues when you go out on a customer call.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. What's the latest OS that I could put on their old LC2? There's only one place I know that I'm going to get an accurate information on that, and that's Low End Mac. So what made you start Low End Mac, and why are you still doing it 10 years later?
I was doing IS work at a local publishing house that was still in 1997 using a Mac Plus and a Mac 2 and a lot of LCs and SIs. Believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I do believe
it. I had to support them. The internet was new to me, and I could not find online resources that gave me what I wanted to know. Mm-hmm. How much memory can I put in this thing? How big a hard drive does it support? What OS versions does it support? So I got all of my books, my Mac user magazines, my Mac worlds. I poured through them, created 24 profiles in April of 97,
mm-hmm.
put them on my web space, and a few months later, Mac Times called me and said, we'd love to put you up and put some ads on your site. Radical concept 10 years ago.
Yeah. They contacted me for that, too, and I went, nah, I kind of wanted to go my own way, which probably wouldn't have made any difference at this point in time, but it's so different nowadays. And Low End Mac, really, I mean, you guys are all about the original content, not like us. I mean, there's so many sites out there that just regurgitate the news or the little smarmy blog posts, which I'm kind of getting sick of myself. A little know-it-all and the smarmy, you know. It's like the Seinfeld of blogging. But Low End Mac, you know, you're going to be able to go there, read an article or two or a review or two, and actually get some unbiased, great information. How much are you still writing on the site yourself?
Some months, quite a bit. Some months, not so much.
Yeah, well, tell me about
the
that.
The last couple of months, I've only done one column each month. Other months, I'll sometimes do two or three in a week.
If we're in your way, just go ahead and give us a shove.
Well, we can move.
So we are recording live in the Apple Store, and people need to buy stuff, and if we're in the way, we're just going to let them shove us out of the way.
That's right.
I'm with you. I don't get to write as much as I used to, but we have so many writers, and I know you do too, that I spend more of my time editing other people's stuff than actually sitting down, and the podcasting is kind of my creative outlet now rather than the writing.
Well, exactly. So, I would much rather encourage somebody else and help them develop their skills.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's fun.
I like editing. It's fun.
So I understand that one of your writers I'm quite familiar with, his name's Tommy, that he's actually looking to get into podcasting at Low End Mac itself.
That's right.
So what's the plans on that?
We're working on what's going to be called the Lemcast.
The Lemcast.
L-E-M-Cast. Lemcast for Low End Mac.
I like that. Lemcast.
And he's working on his first episode. He's got one surprise from the early days of computing. He's going to be interviewing the guys from the Retro Podcast.
Uh-huh.
And been talking to them and you guys and others about this podcasting stuff.
Podcasting
the format's going to be talking about a lot of older computers, hopefully interviewing most of our writers over time, interviewing other experts in the area of older Macintosh computers.
So the Apple Store is, for you and for me, this is still a relatively new concept, Apple having their own retail presence. What do you think this has done for the Mac community? I mean, I think it's great, but some people are a little mixed about that. I don't see as many independent dealers anymore.
I think it's great. I miss the days of the independent dealers. We used to have quite a few here in Grand Rapids, and they're disappearing. We're losing our CompUSA store now.
Well, but is that really that big of a loss?
The last time I visited AMS downtown, it was just a shadow of what it used to be.
But you come into the Apple Store and it's such a unique experience. It's
wonderful.
It's brilliant. I love it. You know, I was just watching just a few minutes ago when you were talking, there was a couple kids actually playing on the IMAX over there, sitting on those round black beach balls. I don't know what those things are, but they're kind of cool looking. Playing on the computers. And you just can't do that at a CompUSA, not really.
No.
So it's a unique computing environment that...
CompUSA, it's all about grabbing boxes off a shelf.
Right.
Apple, it's all about the experience.
Yes, and this
touch
is...
Touch the computer.
This isn't
the
biggest Apple Store in the world, but I like it. It's very personal. Every time I've come in here, it's been a great experience. People are so helpful.
It's always nice to see the new stuff that I'm writing about.
Yeah, that you can't afford. I'm with you there.
Yeah, I still haven't gone Intel.
I like the Intel machines, but for everyday use, you're really not going to see much of a difference, I don't think, between the Intel and the PowerPC. Probably in the next version of the Mac OS 10.5. Prediction from you, when do you think we're going to see 10.5?
I would guess May.
May?
April, May,
everybody
June,
is
May.
Everybody's saying, I'm the one that's saying September, right?
Yeah.
I think we'll have it before the Worldwide Developers Conference, I do.
So what are you looking at the possibility of an iPhone, or are you in my boat that that's way too much money to spend on a phone?
I'm in the boat of I've got a two-year contract with Altel.
So do I.
Come and get your love now.
Come and get... Is that Altel?
Yeah.
If AT&T ends up buying Altel, I'll have to reconsider everything. There have been some rumors to that effect.
Yep.
They love to do these rumors all the time in the cell
just
phone
to tease
industry.
Us. And of course, as Altel subscribers, the both of us, we're hoping it's singular AT&T that buys them because then we can get an iPhone.
There you go.
I don't know. $599 just seems like a lot of money for a phone, but... You know, I was sitting there in the audience at Macworld Expo when he presented it, and I wanted just to touch it so bad. But now with a little bit of distance between then, I don't know. I'm not completely sold. I personally want an iPod with that form factor and with some of the capabilities of the pinch, how they pinch the screen and open their fingers and it zooms up. That's what got me. I want that.
I would guess the next generation iPods won't be out until the iPhone ships, and we'll do the same thing.
We've been talking to Dan Knight. He is the publisher and owner of Low End Mac. Check it out at lowendmac.com. Most people listening to this are going, we know where to go.
And make sure to check out the Lemcast when it's released.
Yeah, Low End Mac is literally a pioneer in the Mac world. They've been around longer than almost every other Mac website out there, and they're still going strong.
Yep.
Thanks for coming out, Dan. Appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Dan.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Mac Update is one of the websites that you're going to want to check out when you have to update your applications. I mean, how, you cannot possibly go to every manufacturer's website that you have software for, mm-hmm. or if you need a new driver. You can't go on all these different websites.
No.
Mac Update is a site that you can go to. All that information is collected in one place, and we have Joel from Mac Update. Hi, Joel.
How you doing, guys?
So tell us more about Mac Update. What are you guys doing? How did you get started? And, you know, that sort of thing.
All right. Like, in the past, it was just a hobby. I was in high school at the time. I'm a pretty young guy right now, 27.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
Just like the Mac. I like the news. I like to play games. You know, I like
so you actually started the site?
Yep, back in the day.
Isn't it amazing that we just got done talking to Dan Knight, who started Low End Mac. Mm-hmm. I started MyMac.com in 95. You started in
96. May 1st.
All these, the big Mac websites, and they're all right here in West Michigan.
And
we've ever Mac Central, yeah.
Stan Flack.
Well, he's not around here anymore, though.
No.
Who's the other one? Insanely Great. Michael Flamenico, yep. He's up in Lansing. So it's just this West Michigan Mac connection that, and we've never all got together. We should have like a mini Mac Web Expo. Of course, there'll only be like four of us, but you know, what the heck.
That's interesting.
Maybe a group conversation on Skype or something. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll definitely have to have you back on when big news is breaking and stuff.
That'd be cool.
So what Mac are you using right now at home?
I don't even have an Intel. Honestly.
Really?
Yep. I've got the old 12-inch PowerBook.
Yeah, but you know, they don't have a 12-inch Intel
right.
Mac. And I know a lot of people who have those 12-inch PowerBooks, and they don't want a new one until they come out with a 12-inch.
Yep. I'm a huge fan. I'm just like little and compact. I don't even have an external monitor to hook it up, so I'm 12-inch everything.
Wow. So that's your main machine.
That's my main. That's it.
Do you take it everywhere, or are you?
It's in my car in the lot.
It's in the car. Okay, wait a minute. What was your car name? And let me write this down real quick, and we'll be right back. So obviously, there's some competition. Version Tracker.
Yep.
Do you guys ever work together, or you just pretend that they don't exist, and you kind of do your own thing, and they do their own thing?
It's interesting. Like this last year at the MacWorld Expo, I got to meet even more of the people that work with Tech Tracker Network, and I know Rob really well.
Yeah.
Another guy named Scott. I'm just starting to get to know him. He's like a business manager. And they're a great crew. They're really cool people. And
well, there's always room for competition. I mean,
I'm all about it, and I'm encouraged. Like, what
now, Apple
doing.
Links to you guys quite a bit.
I don't know.
I've seen some posts from Apple, some software that you can download, and it will say, you know,
Mac Update.
Yeah, a lot of times, like, we host the software on our servers sometimes, and developers can just upload it for free. So they do that. And so it makes it kind of a place. So in that case, a lot of times
Are your servers located in the Kalamazoo area?
No. We used to have them actually just north, actually in this area where we are now. And it was in a mine, 80 feet underground.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you drive down there?
Yep, we'd ride these huge industrial elevators, 88 feet down underground.
That'd be cool.
Open it up, and it was cool because they didn't have to do like AC.
Right,
no,
yeah.
They just
cool
filled
enough.
Up the air and pumped it through the mines.
Wow.
And it kept the data center cold.
So where are your servers now?
They're down in Texas.
Mine's in California. So.
Okay.
And we're in West Michigan.
that's the beauty.
I got to imagine you have some pretty hefty bandwidth bills.
It's not bad, actually. You go through some of those massive data centers, and they just pump bandwidth your way. And,
that's cool.
It's not bad.
So any big plans for Mac Update coming up, or are you just kind of continuing on and gradually building it up? Or
In the last year, I kind of haven't been involved with Mac Update as much. I lived in Mexico trying to learn Spanish and get involved in like communities down there and things like that. But just recently, I came back to Michigan, and we started focusing a little bit more on Mac Update and like progressing its technology and like some services. And so, we're in crossroads right now of like what to do and where to go. But there's one big plan that we're really excited about.
You can't share it yet, can you?
Not exactly.
Well, when you're ready, let me know. And I mean, you're just in Kalamazoo, which is a half hour from us, not even that.
Yeah.
Chad works in Kalamazoo at Pfizer. So.
Yeah.
So we'd be happy to come over and get you on the podcast.
I look out my backyard window and I see the Pfizer building just looming over me.
Yeah. That's Chad.
That's Chad.
So if you need
from my up office on high, look down upon Joel Mueller.
If you have a widget that checks your software for updates, I've got two or three of them. One of the places that all the widgets seem to check is Mac Update.
Yeah.
Is there any way that you can actually see what widgets are checking your site, or how many websites are linking directly to Mac Update?
It's funny. I guess I have two quick answers for that. One is Google Analytics. It's free, and that's what we use to see referrals. But actually, we don't have server data logs to check traffic and stuff, because the data logs would get so huge on the hard drives that it'd fill it up, and the hard drives would crash every 10 months.
I would have that. I have that problem now. So, I have to constantly, about once a week, go in and delete log files. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it gets so huge that I can't. It won't write anymore, and it literally lock up the computer. So
yeah, in some ways, like, we're so small and not corporate that we don't really. We look at download count numbers mostly, and that's what we're driving to otherwise.
So Joel is with Mac Update. If you need to check the latest version of your software, you know, it's not even just checking the software that you already have. It's if you need a, I'm not going to say the kind of program that Chad and I were looking for last night, but if you need a program, I'll say it. We were looking for a torrent client. And, you know, if you need something like that, where are you going to look? You can Google it, and you're going to get 1,000 different hits. But if you go on to Mac Update and do a search for torrent, you know you're going to find exactly what you're looking for, a client that works on the Mac that you can use. And usually it has the price, whether it's freeware, if it's shareware, if this is just an update or if this is the full version. All the information you need is right there on Mac Update. So.
Well, the cool thing about a site like Mac Update is everything that's out there is listed right there. You may find stuff just by serendipity that you never knew was out there.
Yeah.
Something that you could use that you've said, gosh, why isn't somebody making an application that does this? It's probably there. Go to Mac Update and look for it.
That's cool. That's exactly right. And kind of like, actually, along those lines, we have the Mac Update promo, the deal of day. Mm-hmm. And that's like what it does, too. In some ways, it grabs one software title and it highlights it. And so a lot of people are like, wow.
I never knew about that.
Yeah, I've never seen this. Mm-hmm. And so we try and pick cool titles that create buzz and sell it for like 40, 50% off.
Yeah, that's always a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
So it's been real fun.
So check out MacUpdate.com the next time you're on the internets. And thanks for coming in, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
Joel. I said Joe again. I keep wanting to say Joel.
So that is our 120th podcast, coming in a little bit shorter than most of our podcasts, even though, boy, a whole lot more effort you went into doing this one than usual. Yeah. This is the logistics of getting up there and setting up. To talk nothing of arranging all these really cool prizes that, you know, our sponsors were very generous in donating. And I know everybody's already heard a couple times that's been listening to the show for any length of time who the sponsors were for this event. Mm-hmm. But we do want to go one more time through the list of sponsors for the contest. And, of course, first and foremost, the first company to send me anything for this contest and the first people to say, yeah, we'd love to sponsor this contest, is Microsoft. So thank you very much, Microsoft, for sending us a copy of Office as well as the wireless laser desktop keyboard and mouse.
Mm-hmm. We'd also like to thank Roxio. They've sponsored us before in their contest. They sent a copy of Toast, two copies of Zingtone, and two copies of Popcorn.
Wiley Publishing is the first time that we've done a contest that we've actually given books away, and they sent us a copy of MacBook for Dummies, iMac for Dummies, iPod and iTunes for Dummies, and the GarageBand book.
Also, thanks to Otherworld Computing, MacSales.com, for the Mercury On The Go bus-powered portable storage solution, the Mercury Elite AL Pro quad interface storage solution.
They also sent that 250 gigabyte mini stack version 2. They sent both the white and the black versions of the newer technologies traffic jam. So thanks a lot, Mac Sales and Otherworld Computing. It was, man, when I got that box and I looked at that stuff, I was like, this is fantastic. People are just going to love it. I mean, with 10.5 coming out, everybody's going to need another hard drive. So it was great to be able to give away some hard drives to some people up at the Apple Store.
And we'd also like to thank Griffin Technology. They've sponsored us before on previous contests.
They sent six things, yeah.
Yep, they sent two iKaraoke.
I tell you, the iKaraoke was so... I know everybody wanted the expensive stuff. And the iKaraoke, it's only a $50 item, but...
People wanted
that bad. I couldn't believe it. I mean, people were like, oh, wow, oh, I want to answer the next question. Even if they didn't know the answer, they wanted to try because they really wanted that iKaraoke.
Mm-hmm.
And the iTalk Pro, they sent us two of those, which I personally love the iTalk Pro.
And they sent us two of the iTrip Autos.
McGraw-Hill Publishing, they just obviously supported us on the home contest, which is absolutely fantastic. And we just read those winners, and that was for the CNET Do-It-Yourself Mac projects and CNET Do-It-Yourself iPod projects.
And I'd also like to thank Kavasoft for offering six
versions of their software. Yeah.
So we've got two copies of Shoebox, two copies of iConquer 2, and two copies of the iTunes catalog 2 from Kavasoft.
So that wraps up our Apple quiz, our Apple Store visit for the 120th podcast. I don't know when or if we're going to go back up to the Apple Store. It's really, really difficult for us to do it. We really enjoy it, but it's really not the environment to do a podcast in. If we do go up, Chad, it's probably going to be for just a contest. We're not even going to assume that it's going to be a quote-unquote podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We might be able to do something that pull a little bit of the contest out and put it in a show, but we're not going to go up there specifically to record a show again.
Right.
We might be able to use something from that show in another podcast.
Yep.
But it's just we can't have like a roundtable discussion. The Apple Store the employees really aren't. Go ahead.
We would love to have had an interview with some of the Apple Store employees.
But for legal reasons, we couldn't.
Right.
So, and that, because the people up there are just great, mm-hmm. you know, and I really wanted to get them some attention, some personal attention, who they mm-hmm. are, what they do at the Apple Store, why the people in this area would really want to go in and talk to them. But.
And it's definitely worth a special shout out to thank all the guys at the Apple Store who had everything set up for us, who let us use a 23-inch monitor, had the speakers ready, who had the table ready, and
they went above and beyond.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Apple Store, Grand Rapids, Woodland Mall. If you are in the West Michigan area, it's definitely the store that you want to check out
sure
to get
is.
All your Mac gear and talk to the folks up there. They're so helpful. They're so nice. They opened their store up to Chad and I,
mm-hmm.
and we absolutely love working with those people. It was fantastic.
Yep.
So that does wrap up the 120th podcast. Next week, we go back to our regular scheduled format where Guy will join us.
And we'll also be joined, hopefully, by Larry O'Connor from Otherworld Computing, one of our donors for the contest.
Yeah, absolutely. We were supposed to do an interview with him next week. Hopefully it'll happen. If it doesn't, we'll reschedule. It's not a biggie. Mm-hmm. But we're looking forward to kind of getting back into the groove and getting this behind us, because it's really taken a lot of time and a lot of brain power. And, you know, coming right off Macworld Expo, I first started talking to the folks up at the Apple Store during the Macworld mm-hmm. Expo. So to me, in a way, this podcast really wraps up the whole beginning of the year, Macworld Expo, podcasting from the Apple Store. It's like, now we can kind of get back to business as usual. And I'm kind mm-hmm. of looking forward to that. So finally, to wrap up the show, Russ Walkowicz, who was on the show last week and has been with MyMac.com since 1995, keeps everything, I think. And what he sent me was a file that I sent out to the staff members of MyMac Magazine, which is MyMac.com, MyMac Magazine, in 1999, in the middle of the summer. There was no such thing as podcasting. There was barely any streaming audio that you could really get.
Right.
Nobody was doing anything in MP3 in user-generated content.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're about to hear was recorded in the summer of 1999 that I sent out to just the staff members of MyMac Magazine at the time. And some of the people that I'll actually mention in this little audio file, they're gone now. They're not even at MyMac.com anymore. So take a listen to a little bit of history and something that I recorded 8 years ago. I get to pretend I'm Dennis Miller. Very cool, huh? Well, I am working on the new issue. And as I want to do, I came up with a new idea. Actually, it's an idea I came up with a long time ago. It's called My Mac Audio. I think it would be something very cool. None of the other Mac sites are doing anything like it. Basically, what I would like to see done, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do it myself, I would hope that some of you would participate as well. But this is basically what it would consist of. You talking into a microphone, me or Adam or whoever, converting it to both QuickTime and MP3, and posting it on our website. We could do all kinds of stuff with this. We could play My Mac only music. I know Beth writes some lyrics. She's too scared to... She's too scared to actually sing, but maybe somebody on the staff would. I know John Nemirovsky
actually plays the guitar. He could come up with maybe some guitar lyrics. I guess that would be riffs, not lyrics. Lyrics was when you're singing. Really anything would go. I don't know how often we would update stuff when it came to us, I guess. I think this could be huge. Offer people more than just the written word. I know you probably read my email before you listened to this, and for those who don't have an MP3 player, you're not listening to it anyways. But for those who do, this would be one of the formats. It's nice and small and compact. We would probably go with QuickTime as well. I think QuickTime, being an Apple product, more of our listeners are going to have it. But MP3 is so darn popular, I can't imagine not everybody having an MP3 player at this point. Heck, there's so many free ones, and really good high-quality commercial product like I'm using right now. You can hear the music in the background, maybe. Anyways, that's beside the point. I'm kind of rambling here because I'm talking into a microphone in a house where nobody else is here right now. Anyways, what do you think? It would have to be more structured, better laid out and planned than what I'm doing right now to you guys. But I think it would be pretty darn cool if we did it. Time to light a cigarette. And it takes two flicks of the lighter. Little cheap things. Marlboro Light, for those who don't know. It's probably why I don't have such a great speaking voice, because I do smoke. Anyways, what I would see happening is if we did a talk, a MyMac audio talk, 5 minutes, 1 minute, an hour, I don't care. Have a little intro music that we use every week. Eventually we'd have sponsors, sponsors that we would mention during this MyMac audio program is sponsored by, you know, Joe Blow, whatever. I'm still rambling because I'm just trying to fill out a little time. I haven't listened to this myself yet as I record this, and I recorded a couple things just to see what it would sound like. It was really loud, and I hope this doesn't come out as loud. I'm trying to talk really low-key. And basically, the setup that I have right now that I'm doing this, I'm using CD SpinNet Doctor with input to external mic, and I'm talking to my external mic. You all have this capability. Maybe not necessarily CD Spin Doctor, but we could work out a shareware program that everybody that wanted to participate could use to record yourself. And then you simply convert it to MP3 or QuickTime, depending on which way we're going to go, if both. You send it up to me. I clean it up a little bit, add some music, send it off to Adam, and it gets posted. And Barbara, of course, sends out all the PR. This could be pretty cool for a number of reasons. Like I said, nobody else is doing it. We could be the first. So what do you think? I would like to hear what you think. I think it's a great idea, but maybe you disagree. Anyways, that's it for now. Bye. And who knows? Maybe it'll actually bring in some money.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.